It deserves your full allegiance. It deserves my full allegiance. And if you weren't here, let me encourage you to get the CD. But it is proven that it is steadfast and it is true, and it's something that you and I can build our lives upon with all confidence. We've also learned that the Bible can change your life, that it's a supernatural book, and that if you will commit yourself to it, it will bring about a transformation in your life that no other book can. And so we encourage you to be able to embrace it. Now this morning, we want to look at this thought. The Bible helps you and I see what God sees. Because when you and I see what God sees, we will do what He has said. And that's very, very, very important. Now I know what some of us are thinking. Whenever we talk about the Bible, you know, you might think, well, Dwight, I just have never been able to get anything out of the Bible. When I read it, it's just flat out boring. I don't get anything out of it. It seems dry. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. You know, I really don't understand the big deal about having to get into God's Word because it really doesn't relate to me. You know, I'm in the 21st century. It was written a long time ago. Well, this morning, I'm glad you're here if you've had any of those thoughts, because I want to explain to you why the Bible is closed to you and to many people, and how God wants to open it up for you and me so that you can be able to see what God wants you to see. Now, the fact of the matter is, the Bible is difficult. If you don't understand a principle, and I want to give you that principle this morning, and it's called illumination. And you might say, well, what is illumination? Illumination is letting the Holy Spirit show you and me the meaning of God's Word and how it applies to our life. That's illumination. And if you don't understand that, then you'll never begin to understand the Bible. And so it's allowing the Holy Spirit to show me what God wants me to see and how it applies to my life. Now, Jesus said it like this. He told His disciples, He said, it is better that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come to you. Because we know that the Holy Spirit is here to lead us into all truth. And the truth will set you free. And so that is illumination. And yet many of us here, we have bought a toy, or maybe we've bought a computer or a game, and we opened it up and we found out that it took batteries, but there were no batteries in the box. And it leaves us what? Frustrated. And maybe even angry, because we cannot play that game. Because without the batteries being there, the game's really of no use. Well, that is the way it is in reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit, the illumination that He brings to your mind and my mind are the batteries. And we have to understand this, or you'll never be able to make sense of this book. It'll always be boring, it'll always be irrelevant, and it won't make much difference in your life. And illumination is the batteries that you and I need to be able to embrace the Word of God fully. And Paul gives us an idea of it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It's there in your notes. Here's what he prays. I ask the glorious Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you His Spirit. The Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. So he prays here that you and I will receive the Spirit, because it'll make you wise and it'll let you understand what it really means to know God. You see, this book here is supernatural. It's not just God's Word, but it's the only book where you and I can talk and have dialogue with the author. Now, I've bought many books. I have many books in my office, and very few of the books have I ever been able to meet the author and to be able to say, what did you really mean by this, and what were you talking about here? And yet, you and I have the privilege to have the greatest book. It's a supernatural book. But more than that, we can know and we can talk to and we can dialogue with the author of this book. And that's called illumination. And so as I read this book, I ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean for me? How can this make a difference in my life? What am I supposed to do with this truth. And so the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear. He will put thoughts. He will put impressions. He will open your eyes. He will illuminate. He will enlighten. He will give you nudges. And he will turn the light on in your mind, and you will begin to say, now I know what that means. Now I know what I should do. Now I know how I should respond. And Paul goes on in chapter 1 of Ephesians 18 and 19, and he says this, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us to believe. Now notice that he says here, I pray that the eyes of your what? Your heart will be open. When you and I are born into this world, we receive five senses, right? Would you agree with me? You know, smell, taste, hear, and feel, and touch. And that's how we live this life. And if you're going to experience life, at least life to the fullest, you need to be in touch with the five senses, because that's how we experience it. And if you don't have those, you don't experience everything here on earth. Well, when you are born again, when you are spiritually born again, and what I mean by that is when you trust Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life, the forgiver of your sins, and the leader of your life, you get a set of new senses, spiritual senses. You get a set of eyes to see, and you get ears to hear. And so what happens is when you get spiritual eyes, all of a sudden you're starting to see things that you never saw before. When you get a set of spiritual ears, you begin to hear stuff that you never heard before. You see, what you and I have to understand is we actually live in two worlds. We live in a physical world, and yet we live in a spiritual world. Now, most people believe that they're physical beings having a spiritual experience, but that's not accurate. The fact of the matter is you're a spiritual being having a physical experience, because we're more spiritual than we are physical. Everything that you see in this world that's physical is going to be done away with, but your spirit is going to last forever and ever. God's word says that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men and women. And so the spiritual world is more real than the physical world is, but unless God opens your spiritual eyes, you'll never see it. And unless God opens your spiritual ears, you'll never hear what's going on there. And it's important that you and I do. And that's why Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, meaning that when you read God's word, you will see what God wants you to see, so you will do what he has said. Now again, maybe your attitude is, Dwight, hey, I've tried reading this book, and I don't get anything out of it. I'm going to help you today. Matter of fact, this is going to change your life forever and ever and ever. So let's dive in, all right? When I see as God sees, I will see solutions to my problems. Anybody here have any problems? Some of us have been dealing with the same problem for years because we haven't seen the solution. And God's word tells you and I, when we see as God sees, we will see solutions to our problems. Now, one of the popular things today throughout the business world, the marketplace world, is to hire consultants. And why do you hire a consultant? The reason why you hire a consultant is because you want somebody else's point of view. Matter of fact, you think, okay, or you trust that they know a little bit more than what you do. And so if you bring them into this environment, they're going to see things from their perspective, and they're going to tell you the truth because they're not emotionally tied to the people that's in that room, right? Because some of us have a hard time seeing solutions to problems, because if we would deal with the solution, it would impact the people that we love and that we have friendships with, and they may not like it, okay? And so what happens is we call in a consultant to tell us things that we need to hear, because they see it from a different point of view than what you and I do, and they're going to tell us the truth because they're not emotionally attached to anyone. Guess what? That's what the Word of God does. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is called the what? The counselor, the consultant. He's here to lead us into all truth. And we've learned that God's word is sharper than a double-edged sword, and it cuts right to the what? The heart of the issue. And so when I see as God sees, I will see solutions to my problem. Look what it says here in Psalms 119. By the way, let me just challenge you to read Psalms 119 every day this week, okay? It's the longest chapter in the Bible, but it speaks about God's word. Here's what it says. The entrance and the unfolding of your words give what? Light. Your unfolding gives understanding or discernment or comprehension to the simple, okay? That would be me, the simple, okay? And what happens is when I read God's word, it gives me understanding of what's going on. It gives me discernment to be able to say what's true and what's false. And I'm able to comprehend. And so when I look to God's word and I see as God sees, I begin to see solutions to my problems. Why? Because he's opening up my eyes, because what you see is not always the truth. Would you agree with me? There's something beneath that, and you need discernment and you need understanding if you're really going to get to the issue or the problem. Joshua tells us like this. He says, "This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it." Now check this out. "For then you shall make your way prosperous." That's finding solutions to your problems. "And then you shall deal" what? "Wisely," that's appropriately, "and have" what? "Good success." And so here's what I want you to understand. Listen, God has a solution to your problem. And you've been saying, "You know what? I am so frustrated. I'm exasperated. I just don't know what to do." Run to this book. Run to this book. Because God has a solution to your problem. You say, "I can't see the solution. It looks like one dead end after another." Your mind needs to be illuminated. You need the Holy Spirit to give you enlightenment on the situation. You need him to open up your spiritual eyes so that you can see the solution in God's word. Because you're never going to see the solution on your own. Matter of fact, many times we just make the problem worse. We just create more headaches. And so when I see as God sees, I will see solutions to my problems. But you need it from God's point of view. And you have to ask God to be able to give you eyes to see the solutions to your problems right here. What problem do you have? Marriage? It's right here. What problem do you have? Finances? It's right here. What problem do you have? Business? Leadership? It's right here. What problem do you have? Parenting? It's right here. It's right here. It's the manual for life. It's the manual for life. And so when I see as God sees, I will see solutions to my problems. But more than that, I will see barriers to my progress. I will see barriers to my progress. There are things, listen, there are people here this morning, you've been wanting to do some things in your life. You've been wanting to start a business, start a family, get out of debt. You have some goal, you have some dream, and you've been making very, very, very little progress. You keep bumping up against an invisible wall. And you're saying, "I don't get it. I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry. I'm doing the best I can. I'm giving a good effort, but I'm not making any progress." You have those plans, but they're not working out. They seem to be blocked. And what happens is what you have to understand is one or two things. Either God is blocking it because he's wanting to keep you from something that will ultimately ruin your life or that you're not ready to handle. Or secondly, you need to be able to deal with the barrier that's keeping you from that progress. But here's what happens, all right? If you're like most people, when you have barriers to your progress, you get what? Angry. You get ticked off. You get mad, right? Sure. And what happens is you take it out on everybody. You take it out on your spouse. You take it out on your kids. You take it out on your coworkers. You take it out on your team. You take it out on your boss. Behind their back, and you end up getting mad at everybody. And the fact of the matter is, it may be that God is blocking you because he's trying to keep you from making a serious mistake, or maybe it's because you don't understand the real barrier and you think that God is blocking you, but he's not. It's something that you personally have to deal with. And no matter how much you beat your head against the wall, You need to be able to say, God, I want to see as you see so I can do what you have said. You see, when your progress is getting blocked, you can do one or two things. You can get mad at everybody, or you can say, God, would you turn the light on? God, would you let me see what you have for me? Let me see the barrier. Let me see my next step. You can either do that or get mad at everybody. But the problem is that God wants you to be able to see the barrier so that you can make progress. Now look what it says here in Psalms 119 again. Great peace have they who love your law. Now check this out. Nothing shall what? Offend them. Let me just say this. God has brought some people in your life to deal with the barrier to your progress, but you've been offended by them. Because they told you the truth, and you didn't want to hear the truth. Hello? Let me just say that again. Hello? And the fact of the matter is, you're mad at everybody, and God sent somebody into your life to speak the truth to you, and you got offended by it. How much does it take to offend you? If you're not in this book, I guarantee you, you get offended all the time. Hello? What does it say? Okay, send God the email, not me. Look what it says. Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them. You know why? Because when you're in the Word of God, you know who you are. You know who you are. And so what happens is you're able to discern. You're able to understand. And what he says here, or make them what? Stumble. And so what he is saying here is when we're in the Word of God and we're embracing the Word of God and we're understanding the Word of God, people aren't going to offend us. We're going to be able to hear what they're saying and discern what they're saying, and we're able to separate the chicken from the bone, so to speak. And we just go on. Look else what it says here in Psalms 119. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk where? In freedom. What's freedom? Freedom is a life without barriers. Freedom is making progress. Freedom is finding solutions to your problems. For I have devoted myself to your commandments. And so when I see as God sees, okay, I'll see solutions to my problems and I will see barriers to my progress, and then I will see a defense for what's attacking me. I will see a defense for what is attacking me. Listen, here's what I know about all of us in this room. We're all under attack. Every single one of us are under attack in some way or another. Do you realize that you have an enemy? And his job description is to seek, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your health. He wants to destroy everything about you. He wants to do that. And what happens is most of us don't understand that. We don't even have a defense for what is attacking us because we don't see with spiritual eyes. Do you know that God's word says that your fight is not against flesh and blood, so your problem is not your spouse? Hello? Your problem is not your mom or dad. Hello? Your problem is that there is a devil, and he hates you, and he hates everything that God has ever created, and he's got you on his radar, and he will attack you in every single way, whether it's through your health, whether it's through finances, whether it's through family and friends, whether it's through work, or whether it's through your mental ability. You know, I was talking to somebody 2 weeks ago, and we got on this subject here, and the person said, am I crazy? And I said, no, you're normal. Would you like to know the attacks that I deal with? I said, every single day I go through a series of attacks that wants me to quit, wants me to do something stupid or foolish or bring shame to God's name. It happens all the time. There is a devil, and he wants to eat your lunch. And if you're not in this book, what happens is you don't see the defense for what is attacking you. So you are overcome by that. And here's the point. You got things that are attacking you, and you are in a panic about it. And you feel overwhelmed. And the reason why is because you don't see it as God sees it. The Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But it happens by you and I being in this book. And God needs to open up your eyes so that you can see all the resources that are on your side. and that he has commanded to take care of you. Listen, I believe this. I believe that there's angels around us. I believe that they're there to protect us. You can't see them, but they're around you. And God has unbelievable protection. What does the Word of God say? You ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Most of us pray the Lord's Prayer. We don't even know what it means. Maybe I need to do a series on that. It says, lead us not into what? What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. God, don't even let me get close to a temptation because I know my heart. I know that if I go there, that you know what? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. And so what happens is when you say, Lord, don't lead me into temptation, what he is doing is he's going to tell you not to get in the car a half an hour before somebody asks you to get in the car. Hey, young people, he's going to tell you, don't go to the party when you get the invitation on Monday and the party is Friday. Y'all right? That's what it means. But you know what? That doesn't happen unless you have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Look what it says here in Psalms 119. Your commands are always with me, and they make me what? Wiser than my enemies, wiser than even Satan himself. Goes on to say, may your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord. May you save me as your word says. Then I will have, check this out, this is unbelievable. Then I will have an answer for the one who puts me to shame. For I trust in your word. And so what happens is when I see as God sees, I will see a defense for what is attacking me. Listen, I'm telling you, this is unbelievable. This is so important that what happens is it's not the people in your life that are attacking you. Satan may be using them, but you have to be able to see that so you can counteract it from God's word. Let me give you the next one. The next one is God's faithfulness. When I see as God sees, I will see God's faithfulness. I don't know what you're going through right now. You may feel all alone. You may feel out there all by yourself, and you may feel like you're walking alone. But I want to tell you, you're not. You're not. Don't ever think that God is not with you. God is not a mile away. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, and he's been with you all along. Just what we sung about this morning. Never did I ever walk what? Alone. God has always been there. And God tells us in his word that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. Why? Because you are with me. Look what it says here in Psalms 119 again. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. If I did not know, God, that you were with me, I would have quit. I would have thrown in the towel. It would have overcome me. Do you, listen to me. You don't have a clue what Satan would like to do in your life. You don't have a clue that if God would not pour out his grace on you and me, what would have already eaten your lunch. And it's only because of God's goodness and God's faithfulness that you're still here today. Do you know that? Or you're not so arrogant to think that you're alive here today just because of you, are you? It's because of God's faithfulness. And I don't know what you've lost. Maybe a loved one, maybe your health, maybe your job, maybe your friends, maybe an important relationship, maybe an opportunity, and you are grieving, and rightfully so. You are hurting, rightfully so. God has created us that way. But you have been wondering, where on earth has God been in all of this time? Well, I want to tell you, when you're into this book and you see as God sees, you will see that he has always been there, always been there. Now, do you understand the importance of illumination? Do you understand the importance of having the battery of the Holy Spirit in your life and asking him to give you eyes to see and ears to hear? Because we're living more in a spiritual realm than we are in a physical realm. It's huge. And the Bible is there to help you and I to see what God sees so that we will do what he has said, so that we can live the life that he has for us. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, let me give you a couple of ways. First of all, you have to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me just say this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're spiritually blind. You're spiritually deaf. And you don't see as God sees. And you can read this book all day long, and it's not going to make any sense to you. Because you have to be connected with the author. You have to know the author. Not just about him, but you have to know him. You have to have a relationship. You have to be born again. What did I say? When you're born into the physical world, you have five senses. When you get born into the spiritual world, you get a new set of senses as well. And so you've got to be saved. You've got to accept his salvation. And until you begin that relationship, you're blind. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to partake of communion. What a great opportunity for you and I to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, because the communion is all about his death and his resurrection, that he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and we could know the author, we could know God in a personal way, and that he would put his spirit within us so that our eyes would be open and our ears would be open. And so if you've never done that, today you can do that. You can just say, God, as much as I know how and much as I understand, I invite you to come into my life and to open my eyes spiritually and to open my ears spiritually. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The man without the Spirit, that means that you're not born again. You might be religious. And by the way, churches are full of religious people. Full of religious people. Don't even know God. Know about him, but don't know him inwardly. They do not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. You ever heard me preach and say it's foolish? And you're thinking, that's just foolish what he's saying. Check and see if you really know God. Hello? Y'all right? Because what happens is when you teach from this book and you sit there and you say it's foolish, it just may be a sign that you're religious, but you don't know Jesus Christ. Let me go on. It says it's foolishness to him, and he can't understand it because they are spiritually discerned. That's why to try to teach the Bible to an unbeliever is just frustrating, because they don't have the capacity to see and to understand. And we have to understand that. You see, let me give you a scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Here's what it says. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. And so a person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, they can't see it. That's why you never expect an unbeliever to act like a believer. An unbeliever, they don't understand this. This is foolishness to them. This is craziness to them. This is just mere words. That's what it is. But once you know Jesus Christ, your eyes are enlightened, your ears are enlightened. And what happens is you begin to see things that you never have saw before, and you begin to hear things that you never heard before. Jesus declares it like this: I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is what? Born again. And so you have to know that you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that you've trusted him as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. Here's another thing that we need to do once we do that, if we're going to see as God sees. We have to ask God to open up our eyes. Look what it says here in Psalms 119 again. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. There's incredible stuff in this. By the way, let me just throw one thing out to you, okay? You ready for this? Do you know that Proverbs says, don't co-sign on a loan? Oh, Dwight, I wish I would have known that. I got stuck. There's wonderful things in this book. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. But what happens? We don't see it. We don't hear it. It's full of truth. Unbelievable. But it takes more than revelation, it takes illumination. Look what it says here. Here's God's promise. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. He says, I will instruct you, I will teach you in the way in which you should go. He will what? He will be your consultant and what you should do. He will watch over you. You got to ask God to open up your eyes. And then you have to be humble. When you come to God's word, you got to be humble. You have to come with a sense of humility. God, I need to see what you see. I need to hear what you have for me. You can't come with arrogance and say, well, you know what? I kind of already know how to do this. I kind of know what I should do. No, you come with a sense of humility. Look what it says here. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And so when I approach God's word, I need to come and say, God, you know what? I need to hear from you. And I need your help. That's what humility is, admitting that you need help. Proverbs tells us this, trust in the Lord, not in yourself, that's pride, with all understanding, and lean not on your own understanding. Not, here's what I think I ought to do, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Your ways in your finances, in your career, in your relationship, in your sexual life, all of that. Acknowledge your ways. Whatever your way is, acknowledge it to him, and he will make your path straight. What it literally says, he will make it so obvious to you, you can't miss it. He will make it as plain as the nose is on your face. And so he will point you to the path of success. But you have to be humble. And then we need to be pure. Look what it says here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will what? They will see God. You won't, listen, you won't see it unless your heart is pure. And that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. What that means is that you are willing to deal with the stuff in your life. If illumination only came to perfect people, none of us would understand God's word. But to be pure means that, you know what? I'm going to be honest about my life. And I'm going to confess my sin. And I'm going to forsake my sin. And I'm going to repent of my sin. I can't come to this book. I can't fill my mind and my life with a bunch of garbage and then read the Bible and expect to get something from it. It's not going to happen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will what? They will see God. If I'm reading and viewing a bunch of stuff that's impure, that's not godly, and I'm going to expect to read the Bible and get something out of it, you're just not. You're not going to be able to do that. And so I need to understand that my heart has to be pure. I don't have to be perfect, but I do have to be pure. And how do I do that? I come to God and I say, God, you know where I have failed. You know where I, and you name it. And you say, you know what? I thank you that you're willing to forgive me. And so forgive me so that I can approach your word with a pure heart so I can hear what you're saying and I can see what you're saying. And then look at this right here. It says, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has what? Blinded him. You ready for this? Ready for this? You not only have to have a pure heart, you've got to be in right relationship with other people. No wonder the Bible doesn't make sense to us. Because the Bible says here, if you hate your brother, if you have something in your heart against your brother, you're walking around in darkness and you're blind. Hey, you know, let me just tell you, you know, there's times before I even teach or I prepare a message that I have to get on the phone and I have to talk to Patty. Because I got to make it right with her. Or it may be with one of our kids. You know, I didn't respond to them well. I overreacted as a father, didn't have all the facts and, you know, smelled something, went chasing for it. You ever done that? And so I have to come back and I realize that, you know what? I mean, hey, you ought to take up teaching on Sunday morning. It helps you with your relationships, okay? Because I know that there's no way that I can hear from God and I can share from God unless my relationship with Patty, my relationship with my kids, relationship with the staff, so long as it depends on me, is at peace. Because otherwise, I'm going to be stumbling around in darkness. And so I need to be pure. And then I need to be surrendered. I need to be surrendered. And here's what I mean by that. You need to have an unqualified, unconditional surrender to God. And I need to be able to come to God and say, God, you know what? I'm ready to hear from you. And I will obey whatever you show me. Whatever you say to me, I will obey. Look what it says here in Psalms 119 again. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it. Wow. What he is saying here is, you know what? I've already set my mind. I've already set my heart. I've already set my will. God, whatever you show me, whatever you say to me, I'm going to do it. You see, too many of us, what happens is we approach God with this. Hey, God, let me know what I should do, and then I'll think about it. God says, you know what? I don't work that way, and I'm not a part of a dialogue like that. You know, the way that you hear God's heart is you determine in your heart, God, whatever you ask of me, I will do it. I will follow through. And so how do we see as God sees? We've got to have a relationship with him. We ask him to open up our eyes. We approach his word with a sense of humility and a sense of purity and surrender. And when you do that, listen to me, when you do that, you will begin to see solutions to your problems. You will begin to see barriers to your progress. You will begin to see a defense for what is attacking you, and you will begin to see God's faithfulness. You will see it. And this book here will come alive, and it won't be boring. And it won't be a dead end for you. It will be life to you. And that's my prayer. Let's pray. Some of us here this morning, we need to begin a relationship with God. And you can do that right now and then celebrate it through communion. You can just say, God, as much as I know and understand, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to open up my eyes so I can see. I ask you to open up my ears so that I can hear, because I'm looking for solutions to my problems. I've been dealing with these problems for way too long, and I've been to counselors. I've talked to family. I've talked to friends. I've talked to so many people, God, about my problems, and no one has been able to help me, and I need a solution to my problem. Or maybe I need to see a barrier that's keeping me from progress. Or maybe, you know what, I need to see the defense that you have for me and what's attacking me and wanting to destroy me. Or maybe, God, you know what, I'm mad and angry at you because I haven't seen your faithfulness. And I need to see how, you know what, if you were not there, that issue would have destroyed me. I would not be here today. And so, Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask that you would illuminate our minds and our eyes and our ears so we could walk in your ways. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.